You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. And all this month on the podcast, we are getting you, the diehard Chicago Bears fan, ready to go for the 2018 NFL Draft. Today I'll be joined by my friend Larry Dyer from the Chicago Bears Review podcast, and we're going to really hammer down a Chicago Bears big board for that 8th overall pick. We're going to put these prospects side by side, open things up, and just kind of say, if the Bears had their choice of any player, who would they take? If that player's gone, who would they take? And kind of look at the top five prospects here that the Chicago Bears should consider with the 8th overall pick. As we'll get into with Larry in a minute here, the way the NFL draft is shaping up right now, you're looking at a quarterback going number one to Cleveland, probably going number two to New York, but there's a chance the Giants might look elsewhere. Number three, you got the Jets. They're going to take a quarterback. Number four is the Browns again, who aren't going to take a second quarterback, but there's some talk that other teams could trade up there to take a guy. And then you have the Denver Broncos at five that are expected to take a quarterback. So right now, we're looking at probably at least three quarterbacks going in the top five of this draft. And so with the Bears picking at eight, that means only four other non-quarterback prospects are going to come off the board before the Bears pick. So that's why today I just want to build a top five big board, because if three quarterbacks come off the board in the top five or even the top seven, that means the Bears are guaranteed to get one of the five best non-quarterback prospects in this draft. And to figure out where exactly the Bears should go with that eighth overall pick, how they should rank these prospects, let's go to my conversation with Larry Dyer. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is my friend Larry Dyer. He is the host of the Chicago Bears Review podcast. You can follow that show on Twitter at Chai Bears Review. Larry, I've been on your podcast a few times now, and finally I get you on Locked On Bears. Welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Doing real good, man. It feels good that you finally returned the favor. I've been a host to you many times, and a few times is kind of an exaggeration. We've had you on three or four times a year for the last 3 years, so it's been more than a few.
Yeah, I haven't returned the favor nearly as well as I should, and I apologize for that, but it starts today. We're starting to get back on even playing ground here, and we're starting to see the Chicago Bears get back on even playing ground. We've seen an exciting free agent period. Has this team turning towards the NFL draft now? We're getting reports of the team visits. We're starting to see who could be in consideration for this 8th overall pick, and that's what I want to focus in on today. I want to get to who we think should sort of be this hypothetical Bears draft board, that if for some reason every single player in the draft were available with the 8th overall pick, who the Bears would pick 1 through 5, because we look at like mock drafts and stuff, we're probably going to see 3-ish quarterbacks go in the top 5 of this draft, which would leave only 5 prospects to come off the board in the top 8 picks as far as non-quarterbacks go. So the Bears are going to have their options of the top 5 non-quarterback prospects in this draft. So when you're looking, you know, we hear Quentin Nelson, we hear Bradley Chubb, we hear about these defensive back prospects like Minkah Fitzpatrick. If the Chicago Bears had their choice of any player in this NFL draft, who would you be looking at with the 8th overall pick?
Well, I mean, there's more than one way to answer that, obviously. I mean, it depends on which direction you want to go as far as, do we want sure thing? Do we want somebody that is projecting to be a 10-year starter right here, right now? Or do we want somebody who's got a boom, high ceiling that could potentially be, the next great player at his position? Somebody that Ryan Pace has been attracted to, a.k.a. Leonard Floyd. Kevin White, supposedly had higher ceilings after their college careers and everything. So, if we're talking safe bet, talking about perennial all-pro guys, then it looks like Quentin Nelson would probably be the guy that we'd want to go with, according to just about every draft expert out there. But if you're talking about high ceiling, high risk, high reward as far as a draft pick, I love that kid Edwards from Virginia Tech, that linebacker who played inside, but they say has potential to maybe at some point become an outside pass rusher kind of guy.
So if you, Larry, are general manager of the Chicago Bears, you got the keys to the car. Are you going with the high ceiling guy? I mean, I agree that Ryan Pace seems like Tremaine Edmonds is that mold of player that he likes to take with his pick. But if you're handed the keys and, you know, you'll listen to your scouts and you'll listen to your coaches, but are you going with the offensive line or are you swinging for the fences here?
I got to go with as a former offensive lineman myself, I am horribly biased to the selection, but I can't get past what the potential could be with Quentin Nelson. Like, this is one of the more pro-ready guys that we've seen come out of the draft in quite a long time.
So say Quentin Nelson isn't on the board, and all of a sudden in this magical draft scenario, you have your pick of literally anyone else. I mean, does Saquon Barkley get in the conversation for you, or do you go back to the high ceiling from Tremaine Edmonds, or maybe a more sure thing in a pass rusher like Bradley Chubb? Or again, we have these defensive backs. I agree with you that I think Quentin Nelson is number one, but when you get to number two, where are you feeling?
I would love for the Bears to get their hands on Bradley Chubb. Actually, I think we've done a pretty good job at least solidifying the secondary. You know, hopefully Eddie Jackson can be a year two guy instead of being that old tradition of Bear safeties coming out like gangbusters their rookie year and then slowly fading away until the next rookie comes along. You know, Adrian Amos was good last year. Amukamura and Fuller were good enough to earn new contracts and come back with the Bears. They played well. So I think we're okay in the secondary. It's the, you know, that linebacker spot or when pass rusher is the most desperate need on the team, I would think Chubb would be the guy you'd want to go with if you could have absolutely anybody.
Yeah, again, I think we're step for step. When you look at sort of the draft consensus, whether it's Mel Kiper, Mike Mayock, or even a lot of the smaller draft analysts that put out their own stuff, even we had Kyle Krabs on the podcast yesterday from NDT Scouting, his top two guys, Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb. That kind of seems to be the consensus as the two sort of can't-miss blue-chip type prospects that aren't quarterbacks. But then we get to the rest of this class, and I think we see a pretty big drop-off after number two. I think you've got a pretty strong argument for a lot of these guys that we've kind of been mentioning, swirling around here. Would you say Tremaine Edmonds is right here at number three for you, or you know, do you think a guy like Fitzpatrick, he can come in and play a little bit everywhere in the secondary, can make some plays and be a potential turnover machine, or do you like this sort of untapped potential, maybe even Brian Urlacher comparisons for in terms of athleticism for Tremaine Edmonds? But you also mentioned putting him on the edge. It seems like there's a lot of guys here that can do a lot of different things for your defense or even your offense if there's other guys in consideration, but feels like defense is kind of the way to go here. Where are you feeling at number three after Nelson and Chubb?
Well, then it definitely becomes Edmonds, you know, at number three. I also like Roquan Smith. I guess we can put him at four, you know, to kind of shore up that middle. I mean, well, I love Nick Kwiatkowski and what he's done for the Bears, even though he's been more like forced into duty as opposed to a guy who's earned the spot. But he's been, you know, serviceable. He's been good for the Bears. Definitely, you know, a great pick out of the fourth round when we got him in a couple years back. But if we can add, you know, a freak, a athlete like a Smith or an Edmonds back there, then, you know, I would definitely be all for that.
See, I think this is where I'm going to disagree with you just slightly, because for me, I'm a little bit more of a Roquan Smith guy. I think Tremaine Edmonds is an incredibly high ceiling prospect like we talked about. But Roquan, to me, he has similar athleticism and almost – I would almost say identical. I mean, not quite identical, but you know, if Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith were the same size, I feel like they have the same relative athleticism in the sense that like Tremaine Edmonds is more freaky athletic because he's so big, but Roquan Smith has equally impressive athleticism, but because he's only 6'1", 235 pounds, it doesn't feel as impressive. It doesn't feel as shiny and as exciting of a player, but I really feel like he has that ability to cover anybody on the field. Cover Jimmy Graham in Green Bay, cover Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota, and Luke Wilson in Detroit, I guess, but you know, can cover those mismatch type players, can get a running back out of the backfield and really plug in and play every single down and inside linebacker. Like you said, Nick Kwiatkowski, I like what we've seen from him, but he's not doing anything to take me from, or he's not doing anything to really move the needle and keep me from looking for a replacement for him.
Right. And that's what he's been, you know, brought in to do. When you're a fourth round pick, you're not a quote unquote special player, or you're not expected to be. You're expected to be that guy we can plug and play. You're good enough to be in the NFL, just not good enough to be a day one starter, but you're good enough that we might actually have to, you know, that we would be comfortable with you being in there if we needed you to be.
Well, for more on Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds, I recommend you go back and take a listen to the February 26th episode of Locked On Bears. It was a special edition of Mock Draft Monday where we were joined by John Ledyard from Locked On NFL Draft. And he did a good job of breaking down the strengths and weaknesses of both of these two prospects and really trying to pin down which would fit with the Chicago Bears. And up next on today's episode, we're going to move on to the defensive backs in this draft class and try and find a home in the Bears secondary for the likes of Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James. Keep it locked on Locked On Bears. So with Nick Kwiatkowski, you know, you're comfortable having him in there if you need him to be. So what would you think about taking a player like Derwin James, who is pretty darn big for the safety position and kind of moved all over the Florida State defense, could play deep when they needed him to, but really made his money in the box. And you know, I think he weighed in like 6'2", 215, so maybe a little bit undersized for a true linebacker position. But how would you feel about taking a player like that at 8th overall, and maybe you play him in the slot initially, but when you get into some of those nickel and dime passing, really true passing situations, maybe you put Nick Kwiatkowski on the sideline, put Derwin James in purely at a linebacker position, kind of like Deion Buchanan does in Arizona. Yes. I think DeShaq Thompson do that similar. I guess he didn't really play as much safety, but there's other safeties in the NFL that are kind of playing this hybrid linebacker role. Even the Green Bay Packers, that's the other one. Josh Jones, their safety. You know, how do you feel about plugging a safety in there and taking Kwiatkowski off the field versus, you know, kind of projecting how much he could play in that role if it's something he hasn't done an incredible amount of at Florida State and then trying to do that at the NFL level?
Well, I mean, that's today's NFL. You know, these guys have to be, you know, hybrids, or they have to be versatile and everything, because the offenses in the league have become so pass heavy. You know, it almost, I mean, I'd fantasize, or not so much fantasize, but I, you know, think about a time here in the near future where linebacker becomes an antiquated position, kind of like it is with fullback on the offensive side. You almost never see a fullback in the NFL anymore because we're too busy putting four and five wide receivers out there on the field. Eventually, I think that's going to skew its way towards, you know, we're going with more hybrids like Deion Buchanan and Shaq Thompson to be our linebackers, as opposed to having true blue linebackers out there anymore. So to have a guy that could possibly fill that role and keep the Bears versatile on defense, I think that would be helpful in the long run if that's the guy that we go with.
So it seems like you were clearly higher on getting one of these linebackers, Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, after the top two guys, but ahead of these defensive backs. But when we look at this group, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is versatile in his own right, can play some safety, can play in the slot, has played a little bit on the outside, and some people are kind of projecting him there, but he's more sort of your, you know, your back-end coverage-y type of versatile weapon. You got Derwin James, who's more of your big-hitting linebacker, strong safety, some slot, some deep stuff, that kind of versatile weapon. And then you've got sort of your more traditional cornerback type with Denzel Ward from Ohio State, who maybe you're not going to move around a ton, but you can draft him, play him in the slot in the first couple years, and then when you're ready to move on from Prince Amukamara, he slides into outside cornerback, and you've got another young playmaker potentially opposite of Kyle Fuller. When you're trying to parse through those three guys and the potential value they bring, not only into the modern NFL, but into the personnel that the Chicago Bears already have. Which one of those three guys, you know, if the board came down to it and your linebackers are gone and Nelson and Chubb are gone too, and you had to kind of, you're kind of sitting looking at these defensive backs, which direction is your heart taking you as general manager?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, we talk about what we could do with James, but it's not something that he really did in college. Ward seems to be more, like you said, traditional cornerback. So maybe playing in the nickel would be a possibility, but overall, we probably want to keep him on the outside. And then we talk about Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. It's just he's an extremely talented player. He's been good wherever he's been, but has he been masterful is the question. So if I did stick him at safety, can he be a great safety and make me forget that we have to, you know, that we might have to re-sign Adrian Amos, or do we keep him and let Adrian Amos go because we have Minkah Fitzpatrick or what have you? It's really one of those things where you kind of got to figure what it is. I got to talk to Vic Fangio about that. And which one of these three guys do you want? Which one of them is going to be the best fit for us long term, as opposed to what can he do for us in 2018?
Yeah, and with all of these draft prospects, even we talked about it with Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds, but even with these defensive backs, you're kind of, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. And mm-hmm. because they're different players, so it's not equally comparable to say this guy is clearly better, because you're comparing, you know, a more of a coverage guy versus more of an in-the-box guy versus a cornerback. You know, those aren't directly comparable. So, you know, I think with all three, you can make a pretty strong case as to why this guy would be the best fit. And I agree with you that if I'm Ryan Pace and that's the situation, you got to turn to your defensive coordinator. And I'm sure they've already planned ahead and foresee this type of thing happening, and he's already had that conversation with his defensive coordinator. But, you know, I think one way or another, you get the guy that your coach wants to plug in to a bunch of different places and wants to find that long-term home for him in your defense. Because, you know, we've seen with this secondary, even, you can never have too many playmakers. You know,
right.
do you find yourself leaning a little bit in the direction of ball skills, only in the sense of, you know, Prince Amukamara, not a big turnover generator, Adrian Amos, not a big turnover generator? Or do you feel like Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson can kind of offset that, and then you're kind of back to give me the guy that's just going to be the best in coverage and be most solid against the run, even if maybe he's not going to give me, you know, 3-4 turnovers a year?
Well, that's what made Fangio's defenses so great in San Francisco, was that they could turn it on you in a dime with an interception, and the next thing you know, the offense is playing on a short field, and no wonder this 49ers are scoring so many points and everything. So, I mean, I would probably lean towards somebody who can make something happen and you know, be a ball hawk and be a guy that can make those plays for us. Or, I mean, even put us in a position to help out a guy like Eddie Jackson in that Carolina game. You know, Prince Amukamara, or it was Bryce Callahan, whichever one was the one that smacked the ball up in the air that became the second interception for a touchdown for Eddie Jackson. Somebody who can be Johnny on the spot and be around the ball all the time to put the Bears in a position to make something happen and create turnovers and put our offense back on the field.
One last guy I want to ask you about here. We mentioned him a little bit earlier, but we didn't go too far in depth, and that's running back Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Again, pretty well regarded as a can't-miss type prospect compared sometimes to Adrian Peterson. I'm not as sold that he is truly can't-miss and that he truly is this transcendent running back, but I do think he's going to be a very good NFL player at the very least. And if the Chicago Bears have a chance to take this player with the 8th overall pick, which seems a little bit unlikely given where he stands in the draft community, are you considering taking him even with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen on the roster? Or are you pretty well looking at Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, make the team better elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, if Barkley is available at 8, then I'm Ryan Pace screaming at the top of my lungs for somebody to come get him. Because, you know, we have Jordan Howard, we have Tariq Cohen. I think we're fine without him. And I mean, as good as Barkley has been, as good as a college career as he had. I don't believe he's so head and shoulders better than Jordan Howard that we just have to do it. You know, I would definitely be in a position if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm telling every team that wants to get their hands on this kid, I'm gonna pick him unless you give me something for him.
Well, speaking of trades, that was the focus of Monday's April 2nd Mock Draft Monday podcast. We looked at all the potential draft trade scenarios for the Chicago Bears, whether that is moving up to secure one of these prospects we've already talked about, or maybe falling back a few spots for another team looking to move up for a quarterback, or heck, even this hypothetical Saquon Barkley situation. So for more on what the Bears could get and what potential teams could be looking to move up, even if it's not for a quarterback, be sure to check out Monday's episode of Locked On Bears. Is there anyone else in this draft that, you know, you've got your eye on, or that is a sleeper guy for you that maybe you like him a little bit better than other people might, that you'd say, yeah, I'd probably consider him with the 8th overall pick if the board just doesn't fall the way I'd want it to?
One of them is that pass rusher. Is it Davenport?
Marcus Davenport from UTSA.
Marcus Davenport. That's the one, because he's from that Texas school that I can never remember the name.
Yeah, San Antonio.
San Antonio. That's the one. You know, I'm a guy that I like my mock drafts. I like looking at them, but in the end, it never goes down the way that they say it's going to. But that's a guy that seems to keep popping up. Like, the Bears make their pick at 8, whether it's Denzel Ward or Fitzpatrick or Nelson or whoever the Bears go with at number 8. 9 is always Davenport going to the 49ers. It's always him right after us. So it wouldn't be that big a stretch, as far as the experts are concerned, to consider this pass rusher at 8 instead of letting the 49ers pick him at 9.
You know, after we've had draft picks here in the first round, and really the first couple rounds of the last few drafts, Ryan Pace likes to go with these more of these ceiling prospects, like we talked about with Tremaine Edmonds, yeah, and now Marcus Davenport. Are you sitting here kind of, you know, hoping after this transition to Matt Nagy and all these free agent signings, are you sitting here hoping for another swing at the fences, or are you sitting here hoping for just a solid player that's going to plug in and maybe won't ever be truly dominant at his position, but is just going to plug in and be a good draft pick?
Well, I mean, with Ryan Pace's history with first-round picks, that's definitely something that I wouldn't mind at all, playing it safe. And, you know, like when I presented things and then I put them on Twitter and, you know, who do you think the Bears should pick and things like that, it's like Quentin Nelson as a guard at 8 is not sexy, but it's solid. And according to the draft experts, it would be a can't-miss move if he's there for the Bears to take. But it's like, if it's defense, you want somebody that's going to come in and make their mark now, not somebody that may come in a couple years from now, or maybe as he develops and so on. You want somebody who's going to come in like a Bradley Chubb, or maybe a potential like this Edmonds or Davenport has to come in and make an immediate impact, because that's what we need on the defensive side. We need somebody on the defensive side that's going to shake things up, make his name known, and get around the league as somebody that needs to be watched out for. Because, I mean, who on this defense right now, besides maybe Akeem Hicks, do you fear in a Chicago Bear uniform? That used to be synonymous with the Bears. There's people on that defense you don't want any part of, an Urlacher or a Briggs or a Tommy Harris or anything like that over the years. And that guy just really doesn't exist with the Bears right now. So maybe that's somebody we need to draft.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd has been edging on the conversation of that, like we talked about on your podcast, the Chicago Bears Review. He's edging on that line of, you know, great pass rusher instilling fear in teams, but we don't get it for 3 games in a row. We don't get it for a 16-game season. We've never even gotten him for a 16-game season. So we might see a premium on that pass rush position at least some point here for the Bears, whether or not that's in the first round. But I agree with you. I'm there 100% that give me a guy that's just going to contribute. You know, I think the Bears have a window to win a championship when they're on Mitchell Trubisky's rookie contract, when he's not taking up 20, 25, maybe by the time he gets a deal, $30, $35 million of your team. You need to surround this quarterback with as much talent to start winning really now. And, you know, maybe the expectations now aren't Super Bowl, but you got to get headed in the right direction here Well, you still have a young quarterback and a roster. You're trying to follow the Rams pattern. They take that step to year two. They make the playoffs. And now maybe year three, they go the next level. You know, same thing with the Eagles. They make the playoffs. They go all the way to the Super Bowl, even though that's without Carson Wentz. That feels to me like the strategy to go here. And that starts with hitting your draft picks and not taking the risk of trying to get the next great thing. Just get somebody on the field that's going to make the Chicago Bears better.
And that's pretty much all we can ask for at this point. I mean, the Bears have a lot of needs that could be filled, but we're also in the spot where, you know, I would still go best player available, and I would go with most likely to provide some kind of impact as well. You know, I'm like, if we can get all that in one person, that would be, you know, obviously win-win across the board.
Well, finally getting you on the Locked On Bears has been win-win across the board. I do your podcast, you do mine, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. The chemistry survives. Amen. Whether it's my Skype that breaks up and my internet that cuts out midway through our podcast recording or whatever it may be, we finally got you on Locked On Bears. Tell the listeners a little bit more about Chicago Bears Review and why they should listen to that podcast over some of the other clearly inferior competing Chicago Bears podcasts. Of course, not including this one.
Well, of course not. You know, Locked On Bears is right on my level with the Chicago Bears Review. So, I mean, it's, you know, we're neck and neck competing for the top spot. But, you know, I mean, I've been doing the Chicago Bears Review since 2007, when the term podcast barely existed. It wasn't part of the lexicon quite at that point. So, of course, I go all in on a podcast right after the Bears make the Super Bowl, and we have yet to be back. So there might be – I don't know if there's a correlation there. I don't know. I just can't argue with the results. But, you know, I've been at it for a long time. And since 2015, I've started having guys like Lauren on the show, making things a lot more interesting. So just imagine the passion that you get from a Lauren Cox or a Larry Dyer about the Bears, but about the Buffalo Bills or the Dolphins or whoever the Bears happen to be playing. That's who I'm having on the show now, so they can tell us about their team and what we can look forward to when we play them. So I just try to mix it up and get a lot of passionate, you know, people that love their teams to talk about it on ours, and it's been a really good thing, and I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Well, Chicago Bears Review is one of the favorite podcasts that I get invited on, and I really look forward to it every time. So I definitely recommend when they're done listening to Locked On Bears, of course, and they want that more hour long, rich analysis, depth of Bears free agent recap we just recorded for your show. I definitely recommend everyone check that out. Larry, it's been a pleasure having you on my podcast finally, and we'll have to do it again later this offseason.
Absolutely, my friend. Looking forward to it.
Thanks again to Larry Dyer there for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to keep getting your dose of Chicago Bears draft analysis, be sure to hit the subscribe button on the podcast, whatever podcast listening app you are using right now, or whatever one you want to use. We are on there, whether it's Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, you name it. Locked On Bears is there for you to subscribe to and keep coming back for more. You can also like Locked On Bears on Facebook and follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Cox Sports One. Next week on the podcast, we're going to turn our attention a little bit more here to the second round and the later rounds of the draft. You know, this past week or so, we've really been focusing in on this 8th overall pick. And I hope by now, everyone that's been listening to every episode of this podcast, you have a good feel for all the guys we talked about today on the big board, and even some of the other potential options here in and around the first round pick. The Bears trade down, the Bears trade up. We've talked about a lot of prospects that could fit the Bears and how they would fit the Bears and what kind of development path they could have in the NFL. So next week, we're going to start looking a little bit more into this second round. Bears don't have a third round pick, but we'll get into day three with the fourth and fifth round picks. I promise we're not going to focus too much on obscure guys you've never heard of, but as we're trying to do all month in this podcast, we are going to get you ready for the NFL draft with every name you need to know, especially with these first two picks. That's where the money is made, and we'll see what Ryan Pace has in store for us. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend. Keep coming back on Monday for another episode of Mock Draft Monday. And don't forget to bear down.